Welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast, Facilities Committee Meeting, Part 2 of 2 Parts, November 6, 2019.
So yeah, basically the option would be we purchase the grounds equipment outright. We'd need $20,234.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So we're okay with the grounds equipment.
Yeah. And just so if you do approve this, I would only go purchase the gator at the moment. I would get the there's no point going to get the mowers now because I'd rather keep the warranty longer. So I'd probably purchase them in March, as long as they're going to hold the price. For me, if they hold the price, we'll just say, can we get them delivered in March? So we can get our warranty to extend out a little bit.
Sounds good.
Yeah, because they're only going to sit in the shed.
Right. So maybe if you buy a big plow, it won't snow. You know, kind of like
an fingers crossed.
I have a question, which I could talk to you offline because it's related to what we've been talking about. But would it make sense, if we were purchasing with capital, would it make sense to actually do both in the sense of we're spending $200,000 buying something, and then we know that's going to, we're expecting that to last 10 years, would it make sense to then plan to put a budget item of $20,000 in our, and so in other words, we
ultimately, yes, that's, Dave and I spoke about that. Ultimately, what we need to do is to start building into his budget for these equipment and capital-type replacement things. Right now, he's not in a position to do that. So, yes, but eventually, that's what we would like.
So, like, a good one for the vehicles, we know our vehicle situation right now. We've got 20 vehicles. We're looking to replace 7. What we can do is, if we're looking at that period over, you know, in 5 years' time, we need to identify, and I would say out of that 13 remaining vehicles we've got, most of them are probably going to be due, if not besides maybe one or two. We probably need to look at that in 5 years' time, how are we going to build towards replacing that in 5 years? Because that's what, if we went down the leasing option, what I'd be saying in 5 years' time, we've got to be replacing the next lot, batch of vehicles. And the grounds equipment's a little bit different. I need to really get more time and get all of the equipment because, as you said, we've got some really big, high-powered, and they're probably, $3,000 to $6,000 machines, snow blowers and all that type of stuff. We need to get the information on that because you don't want to be going to spend $2,000 on a 10-year-old snow blower that costs $4,500. So that will come. You'll sort of see where I'm going a bit with this when we get to the capital improvement slides. And it's basically the same methodology from the facility side to what it would be for vehicles, a plan, a replacement plan, and the age. And in Australia, we rolled ours out every 3 years. And that was the only reason we did that is because of the value that we got, because our vehicles didn't go far. So we were actually getting greater return selling the vehicle after a short period of time. And the school got to depreciate that. So that was just our way of doing it when we purchased them, but then we ended up going to leasing.
One of the discussions that Dave and I had when we talked about a few things, because this is a very heavy expense facilities presentation, but you haven't seen the next slide yet. A little segue.
I'm going to just get them.
One of the conversations we had was that we do need to, we have to be conscious of where we are with spending, but there are things that still have to be, and we're going to have to spend money on some stuff as it's identified. We talked about the money that's in capital reserves for any day, so this is just upfront investment money because this is going to contribute to us saving money in the long run. We have old equipment and we're spending the necessary repair money on old equipment to keep hopefully band-aiding up stuff where we don't need to do that. So while we're spending in one area, it is going to impact another area where we will save and it will pay for itself. So again, I'm more than comfortable with the recommendations that we have of using the capital to have the long-term plan to do what Dan is talking about. And in the long run, that's fiscally responsible. But, this is why we had the money set aside. It's not a huge chunk, But now is the time to use it because we are in a situation in our general fund where we don't have the money in line items, and there is a need for things. And again, I think these investments will have a return, and it's the right thing to do in the long run.
Is there a term for that? Capital reserve, is that just capital reserve, or is it planned capital reserve? Just so
it's just money that's in capital reserve.
Okay, capital reserve.
Really, yeah. Like in an ideal world, that we would start, like when I'm doing my budgets, I could, you know, we would be giving you, not coming to a meeting like this, we would have it approved in the budget knowing that we've got this coming for the following year. I'm probably not at that stage for next year on a lot of items, but I would hope for the following year I'm in a lot better position to say, these are the items that we need to replace and we have a plan in place. That would be my aim.
Just one idea, and I don't even know if it would work, but in terms of, I know we pay a decent amount in repairs annually. Is there a way to consolidate with the township? I don't know who they use to have their equipment, but based on the sheer volume of the equipment that both of us have, there potentially could be economies of scale by using the same repair company.
Yeah, we definitely can follow that up, and even several weeks ago, I was when last executive session when Arcadia, what equipment do they have? What do we have? Is there any way of sure, yeah, they've got a scissor lift and we might have something that we could, you know, multi-share. It could be something that, you know, if we do form a relationship with them, how we can better improve that.
Yeah.
And there might be some good avenues to there. Might be what contractor do you use, and if we're very close proximity, we might be able to get discounts on services. It's just something that we might be able to investigate more in. Because, they are a big university and got more facilities than us, so we might be able to tap into their resources as well.
That's great. Thank you.
All right, so this is, as Cara mentioned, so the capital improvement plan. My goal is for the district to complete a facility condition assessments report on the district, and this will give us real data and cost reporting for all our existing facilities. I met with AMG, EngTech, and Penn State facility condition assessment and discussed their FCA process and platforms used. My suggestion for this work would be to utilize AMG, who I've worked with in my past district, and the services provided are superior in my opinion. They also have the ability to create the PM schedules through SchoolDo. The cost proposal was $114,000 for the whole district for the FCA. I propose for the budget, for budget reasons, if approved, to complete Cheltenham High School, EP and Cedarbrook for the cost of $74,693. I would make the recommendation to complete the PM schedules also for the cost of $10,700. In the 2021 budget over the summer, we would then complete the remaining buildings for a cost of $39,929 for the FCA and $3,223 for the PM schedules. If in favour, I would suggest having EMG present at the December facilities meeting and then forward it to the board for approval. I've been lucky enough to share their program that we utilised at New Hope Solbury. So let me get the slides up for you. So. Let me just get the next one up for you.
This is what you really wanted with the KCBA report.
Yes.
Let me just get this in here for you.
Yes.
There's no popcorn.
No, it's awesome. I'm sorry. I really want to dim the lights because that's how awesome it is.
This is the platform for New Hope. So they've obviously got four schools. So if you go into the high school, let me get this high school here. So this is the observation. So you can see up there, up on the right-hand side, the top line, they've got $15,582 in today's money value. And if you add the 3% inflation, they've got $21 million of work to do over the next 20 years in replacement. That was a real shock for the board because they just completed a $30 million renovation project of the high school. And one of the reasons were that there was 25-year-old boilers they didn't replace in the project, there's 1930 windows they didn't replace in the project, and they didn't do the roofing. And when we did present this report, that sort of really stood out, that they needed this report before going and doing anything else, because it gave them a better understanding. Now that is just the high school. So when you actually go to the items, So this is every single item that's got a year value next to it on the right-hand side. So, and you've got the total cost. So you've got one, you know, 2021, 2042, 2028. It's from as little as, we've got an 18th. I'll just put some examples up there. That this pops up, that's the roof, it's a replacement of the shingles. As you go down the sheet, the total estimated cost is $17,784. Next action required is 2037. As you can see, year observed, the age of that roof was only 2 years old at the time, the lifespan's 20, so it's got 18 years remaining. So they go through your, all your buildings and ground, all your existing facilities. So if they, if you wanted to say, well, do we need a new turf field? They won't have that in there because you don't have a turf field. So it's just a replacement value of all your existing conditions. So as you go down there, we needed to, I'll just try to get some...
I'm going to jump in real quick. So one of the things when Dave was showing this to us, so this company comes in, they go through your building, they take pictures of every piece of equipment, of everything. They tag it, they put that individualized, they go back and they find out when it was put in production, what the useful life is. It gives you the understanding of making the decision. I'll use an example, IDP. The boiler's going, the boiler's going. We look at the boiler and the boiler is, it has 1 year left of useful life. So that helps with the decision on do we repair it or we replace it? Because I don't know if you're really gonna repair a boiler that either extended past its useful life. It helps with that decision making, so to that level, and then it puts it all together for the planning piece of it.
So that's just elevator controls, as you can see there, and it's an indication. So like 2018 year observed, it's 16 years old, its lifespan 20. And it's one of the reasons why when they do their report, their preventative maintenance cost is so cheap, because they're getting all the serial numbers and the data. They are quite a big company. And they do a lot of hospitals. They do the whole school districts in Maryland. Their school districts are set up by counties, not by districts. So as you go through, you know, variable frequency drives, they actually have the image there. They have the next action required. And that's a guidance. Like, just because it says replace a boiler, if you're having no issues with that boiler, you don't have to go do that. And that'll take me to the next. So there's all these graphs that you can do. So you can see here, this is all the schools on the left-hand side. They've got the high school, they've got the transportation office, they've got the maintenance shed, it's got the operations office, the low elementary, middle school, and it gives you a dollar value. So you can see in 2020, if they did everything in that proposal, they got $1.9 million worth of work. 2021, they got 4.7. Then it drops down to 554,000. Then it goes up to 2.19. But then they give you a 20-year forecast over that time. The good thing with their program, we worked it on a 5-year program, so you have it. Obviously, they do recommend they come out every 5 years, but all the data's in there, so the costs significantly drop. We worked on a 5-year. Now, there's a lot of operational items in there. So at my previous district, myself and the business administrator, we have to go through and identify the 790 items individually, because there's a lot of items there that we might be doing out of our operations budget, and we didn't want to determine that as capital. So we siphoned it out to what was capital and what was not, because painting was in there. Well, we have a painter, that should be in our operational budget. There was small repairs in there that we might, which would usually do out of our operation budget that we have. So, but then it also gave us an opportunity to look at items. Now, if we needed to do a new roof, well, what do we need to do underneath? So trying to then work with, you know, guaranteed energy saving contractors, and how do we did a project if we're taking a roof off. Was there air conditioners we needed to do in that area? So we needed to look at it from a you know, full-scale lens. So, and one of the things I did want to show you on this one, just for an example here, there's the condensated water. If you go into open the details page, it gives you the ability, and this is how you create your yearly and 5-yearly. As you go down the bottom, you'll see the replacement year, and if you want to change that year, you can go in and change it. If you wanted to go, hey, that's going well, we can make it 2040. If you want to bring it forward because it's been causing you issues, you can change all the data in it to accommodate your budget. you know, there's a lot of items in there too that you don't technically have to do, like VCT flooring. Just because they say you've got to do it doesn't mean you have to do it. So the numbers may be, you know, when you go back to the replacement costs here for, where was it? When you go back to here, there's, you know, that those numbers probably stick out, but that's a four school district. But you know, you're looking at today's dollars. But you look at that, they've got $35 million. If they're going to replace everything in their facility as per that plan and the lifespan of their, you know. So that gave them really good data that, you know, how we're going to, you know, do our capital improvement plan, how they were going to, you know, put money aside and that. So I really think this is the sort of information you would want across the district because, you know, if you're looking at Elkins Park as a next potential project, you don't want to know... You know, what happens if we, you know, we're looking at investigating air conditioning in the high school? Well, what if those boiler chillers need to be replaced? Well, you know, should we, you know, that project would cost a lot of money. You know, it'll give you a good guide of what's required across the district. Now, I will tell you, every project we did when I was at New Hope under there, everything came back cheaper than what was there. So there is a little bit of buffer zone that they give you. The computer actually updates on the value on a regular basis, their company, so you'll see different numbers as the, you know, prices increase or decrease. So that's a part of the program. That you get this program for 2 years, and then after the 2 years, it's $3,500 to keep the program. So it becomes like an assistance to school dude type thing, because this just adds your assets. When we replace things, we should be going in and saying, this got replaced that year, and if that got replaced that year, you would enter the data, and if it was a 20-year lifespan, that would then update into your calendar, so it just becomes a rolling effect. So that's what we utilised. The two other organisations, EngTech, theirs was similar to this, and there was only $2,000 different. They were $112,000. The only thing with theirs, they didn't provide the preventative maintenance obviously, because yes, we're going to pay extra for the preventative maintenance, even though we've got the preventative maintenance in our system, but for the sake of $13,000, I think it'd be really great to update the preventative maintenance, and we don't have preventative maintenance in Seabrook. We've got a brand new school where we don't have this. The preventative maintenance is when everything gets inputted into our school and they go and get all the data. We don't have that, because they did the project. You just get the operation manuals and all that. You don't have that data where they fully put it in.
And that, I guess I could ask a question about that. So they're just thinking about how, you know, capital expenses on large projects, right? There's normally like a turnover package, like, right?
Yes.
You go buy a car, you get like the manual.
But yeah, you get the owner's manual.
But if you buy a BMW or something, they like teach you how to drive the car, right? And so I'm saying that's kind of like a BMW to me. We didn't get the instructions on
Now we get the owner's manuals and all that, but that's a little bit too, like the preventative maintenance is they go and identify everything that needs to have preventative maintenance. So, you know, like we have to go check every single fire extinguisher every month. That's right. By law. So that then becomes, and when we, you know, look at school dude, that's all the preventative maintenance in there, but they get all the information that we need to do as they're going around taking all the serial numbers and all that. They have a program that creates the preventative maintenance for every item and machinery. So yes, if we had to do that ourselves, I don't think we'd have the ability, myself or my staff, to identify all the preventative maintenance. So that ensures we get all that information into the system, and it would update our database from when it was completed back in, was it 2016 or 7? That's just something that I would recommend to do if you're going to end up going down an avenue of a facility condition assessment like this. It's really good for the to see it from a different lens. It's better than us coming in and saying, well, we've got that roof's always leaked. You've actually got engineers coming out here inspecting all the conditions. They look at your roadways. They look at your fields. They look at water runoff. They look at ADA compliance. We had a few of them at New Hope, but more just we didn't have enough van parking spaces for ADA. So you get a lot out of it, not just from the engineering standpoint and the big ticket items. Penn State University, I met with them. They're currently doing work at Central Bucks, but theirs is more from, they want a 4-year agreement type thing, and they just concentrate on big ticket items and deficiencies. When I showed them this program, they said they're not at that stage yet. The two companies that I worked with, I went through the Drexel system, very similar, just different formatting. The only reason I'd recommend AMG is because you have the ability. They have some agreement with SchoolDude. They do that, and they can upload it all into SchoolDude for us, all the preventative maintenance. So they're basically like a supplier. So if you wanted to do your preventative maintenance through SchoolDude, they would most likely outsource it to AMG on a small scale. But what you got from, I've seen the reports and I've sort of seen what we've got from AMG through SchoolDude. So we went with the company direct. It cost us a little bit more money than getting the PMs by SchoolDude. And it was so much more better a product type thing. So you've got so many different reports that you can create through this system. You can go to priority scores, FCI analysis. I'm not recommending to go do this. All I'm sort of saying, if this is something that you think that we should be going down, I'd like them to come and present next month to present how they do it. That's the sort of process we did. You come and present the program to you and what it is, and then we can look. If you do decide to do it and we do move forward, the reason I did the three schools, I'd be probably thinking spring break to get that completed. We obviously looked at the two of the older schools, Elkins Park and the high school. The reason we wanted Cedarbrook is because we want to get that preventative maintenance online as quick as possible. I thought it was good also to see what you have to spend on a new school over a 20-year period, because we do have some older elementary schools which are getting to 10 to 12 years old. You know, a lot of hot water units only last about 12 to 15 years, so it's just making us aware of what's coming up. They're no longer sort of like new schools, even though they might sound new to everyone. So I think it's a good opportunity to get them out to explain their program, and then in the summertime would be to complete the other 8 buildings, including administration, and then that means we'll get all that data within a 4-month period to 6-month period. So because obviously the key was, when you roll this out, really for the first year, we couldn't do anything with this data because it was like, wow, that's a lot of money. You know, how are we going to plan this? So we basically sat on it for a year so we could work in it, you know, to siphon what was operational, and then how will we, you know, so we, even the first, they assigned $1.7 million for this year to do work. You know, there was, the boilers got done, brand new tennis courts. So yeah, that chewed up 1.1 of the 1.7. Mm-hmm. So they're still even working out the program, because they're not in a position either to go spend $4 million. So we needed to really look at the items and how we do that. So if we do that, our job would be, you know, obviously working with Cara, is looking at the 5 years, how we could present that and, you know, find out financially. And they'll also give you a good understanding of where we are with our current facilities before, you know, working with Elkins Park. I would say that when we do get this, my previous district, they didn't do it by the time I'd left, but we were looking to engage. When we did get to the project, doing work and that, we needed to get an architect to work with the district. So I'd recommend that, because, you know, like we had, all our sports fields had no pathways to get to the field. So we needed to get ADA pathways. So we needed to get that designed and that type of thing. So we wanted to partner with an architect, and then we looked at it from two angles. We obviously looked at, you know, partnerships with guaranteed energy savings companies. Could these, some of these projects that are in there, be done under those programs where we're going to, you know, the savings can fund the projects? But also we needed to get an architect involved, not on a long term, just might be specific needs, so we can build an ongoing relationship with an architect. So that would be something that, as we go through the process, that we have to have in the back of our mind, that we'd have to work with those professionals. Any questions into all that?
Just real quick, this, think about the KCBA report for the board members that were on the board when that was done. Because Dr. Morsay and I kind of looked at each other when he presented this, and I'm like, this is exactly what the board was looking for. The KCBA report, which we spent money on, it became subjective. This is objective. Like, it's giving you the useful life. It's not, you know, there is subjectivity that you, if we can't afford to do everything, that we have to make decisions, but it's based on data and not the priority that the architect did. The difference with this, too, is that they're engineers that are doing it, not architects. And Dave said a lot of times when they're doing these reports, if an architect is doing them, they're also looking for a job and projects. So this is a little bit different on the purview of how this is being looked at. From my office's standpoint of view, I've been waiting for something like this because I'm tired of the roof is about to collapse and fall in and you better save $500,000 because what's going to happen if the roof collapsed. This allows us at least a pathway to understand how old stuff is. Is it really bad? You can now, instead of hearing it from, you know, Dave, you can actually see it. He can pull it up and say, okay, look, here's the useful life, here's where we're at with it. They said it needs to be replaced. I'm telling you, it needs to be replaced. And there's just data to back it up. I just, for me, it would be a good investment for us to move forward in decision making with our facilities. Because as Dave pointed out, even though in my mind, I'm like, we have 4 brand new elementary buildings. We don't. Some of them are 10 years old. So there's things that are going to start to go that we're not even thinking about that we have to build in. And our thought process sometimes going to new projects, not maintaining the things that we've already built. So
and just from just on my angle on this one, please understand, this is just a facility condition assessment. From this, we should be building our capital improvement plan. So this has given us a lot of data to help you make decisions on capital projects and even how we do certain capital projects that may be in that report.
So I have a couple questions about this. So so we purchased School Deed. It was recommended to us, I don't know how many years ago, and we bought School Deed. We bought the software suite. And then we were told, oh, now we have to pay to upload the information. And I get that. We don't have a team of people sitting around in the building here who could enter all the manuals and the warranties and the specifications. So we sent a truckload of paperwork somewhere, and somebody uploaded all that into School Deed. And that was several years ago. So we have these, we don't have Cedarbrook in there. We didn't buy to put that in there, or was
Cedarbrook wasn't done.
Since that time, we didn't go back and say we've got this stack of manuals. We need to upload. Okay, I'm just trying to understand.
I don't think School Group is operational.
I don't think it was either. We had it for a while before it was operational, before information was put into it. And even when you arrived here, there were things that you went in and turned on. I guess we were getting some reports last year, but now it seems like, so anyhow, so we bought School Deed and we paid to have the thing make it operational. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't do those things, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be protecting our investments. We like to say we've got these new elementary schools. We had to replace some stuff at Wincote last year. Motor bearings that hadn't been properly maintained that cost us money. Fans or something on the roof, HVAC. So this company, the CMG, would come out and they would do an assessment. Their engineers would do an assessment and they would work in tandem with School Deed. Is that how this is? We're going to have two different programs.
No. So they don't work in tandem. There's nothing from School Deed. This program that's up there, that's all EMG. The only thing they have the ability to do is that we purchased at our previous district the preventative maintenance through EMG. The only thing they have is they have some form of relationship with School Deed that allows them to input their data, and it's compatible to input it into School Deed. So it's EMG's preventative maintenance program, but they're allowed to put it into, and I can get them to touch on that next month, how that's done. I understand what you're saying in relation to some issues with schools and that. Remaining useful life is only as good as what our preventative maintenance and how we maintain that facility. Just because it says it's worth 20 years old, if we're not doing the maintenance to it, we may only get 14 or 15 years to it.
No,
so I'm just trying to let you know.
I'm not questioning any of that. It's all logical. It's linear. I see exactly what you're talking about. What we put in here is going to impact what we have to put in down the road. I understand all that. So this would be having, and like with Cedarbrook, we've never had that discussion. We do need to do something to make sure that we're maintaining that building, because it was fairly disappointing to hear about Wincote, that we had things that should have and could have been maintained that we ended up replacing because we weren't.
Just on the preventative maintenance side, and that's more, yes, we have preventative maintenance in our school dude and except Cedarbrook. The only reason it's $13,000, I know, money's money, but I don't know how that data was entered back in 2016 and 17. You need to have your mechanic, you need to take them around. I'm not sure if, I'm not saying they did or didn't, I don't know how that was done back in that time. So just because it comes up and I'm assigning, school duty requests in relation to preventative maintenance, I don't know if that's every single preventative maintenance, because I don't know how that was done back in that time. So that's just a recommendation from myself. I'm obviously using school duty quite heavily. I'd be a lot more at ease knowing that we've got the information in there, it's updated information. For the cost of $13,000.
We shared with the board about bad data in, bad data out.
Right.
And we had shared that, I don't know school dude, I'm only operating on previous directors who were here who were telling me about the way in which it was operating.
I'm not questioning anybody. All I'm trying to understand this. That's why I'm asking some questions. I hear you.
I understand that. What I'm saying is that to piggyback on Mr. Teasdale's point is that he'd like to feel very comfortable with the fact that if the data is in there, it's clean data. And when you're being passed the baton, and you're not sure if is that really indeed there, or are there other things that are missing? So, unfortunately, hindsight 2020. As good as we thought School Dude was going to benefit us,
I hear you.
It just didn't work out as well as we would have liked. But it's extremely valuable tool for us.
And the only reason the preventative maintenance is so cheap is because if you do the facility condition assessment, they have to go to every single bit of equipment and get the information. And their resources they have to create their data. That's the only reason it's so cheap as well to do.
That's just a
recommendation.
I'm just like thinking through the last several years and how all this progressed. So I'm not arguing with you. I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot. I'm trying to just get my own slow functioning mind to understand where we are with this thing. And I agree. I mean, what we were talking about, Dan brought up the issue of vehicles, and we had a discussion about being planned for. Absolutely. This is Cheltenham. We have a tradition of not planning for anything. We have a township that's on the verge of bankruptcy over a sewer system that never maintained. And we rebuilt four elementary schools years ago without any forethought about it. So I'm just trying, all that's in my mind while I'm trying to understand this. I think it's wise to have a system where you can call it up and you have your menu. You've got your slips, you've got your records, and it spreads out costs. I think all that's great. I'm sorry that I took so long. I'm just trying to get my mind around all these different components.
I think I'm understanding, it's a clarification question. We have a whole bunch of data now properly in School Dude that is going to give us preventive maintenance schedules and work orders and all that. Am I understanding correctly that what EMG will do is enhance that?
Me personally, I want him to redo it.
Completely.
What he's saying is he doesn't know if he can trust the information
what's in there?
That was
helpful. All of it.
As you can see, this is our school dude. And as you can see, if I open it up now, I've got 58 jobs. I was at a conference this morning. If I go to our PM Direct here, where's our PM Direct? This is everything from PM Direct feeds into school dude. Okay, so we've got 498 jobs, labor hours, we've got 204 in January, but then I can go to our calendar. And as you can see, these are, I can break it down from school. These are all our PM schedules across the district. So if you go down, and you'll keep scrolling a long, long way down, these are all our PM, you know, ice machines, refrigeration units, walk-in coolers, emergency exit signs, all this stuff. All I'm just saying is for $13,000, if you're going to move forward and do the thing with EMG, I think it's just a worthwhile tool to get them to redo it so we're comfortable.
And that was, yeah. And that's what I didn't know that it, you were saying redo. I wasn't sure if you were just adding on.
So yeah, no, they're not adding on. Okay. We could. The other option, if we were comfortable with all this data, all I'd be saying is, can we just add CBK on?
Okay.
I'm not saying I'm not comfortable with this. I just don't know. I wasn't here. I wasn't.
And
I don't
they'll
know
be doing a deeper dive into the systems than we've ever done, so they'll be able to get us the best information to put
correct. In. Like right now, the one thing that's unknown is, because he wasn't here to oversee it, is did they capture all of the items that need preventative maintenance? We don't know that.
And just so you know, like, we need to, it's a very thorough process. Like, I needed to get my mechanics, I needed to get everyone involved to sit down and speak to the engineers, and they had to go every step of the way with them, because the engineers that come out too want to know, has this been operating correctly? Have you had issues with that? Because that would affect their life expectancy of that, because their databases of the estimated useful life is on, this unit was manufactured in 2000 and it's got a lifespan of 20 years. Well, that unit could have been sitting on a shelf for 5 years and got put in.
Right.
So any history that we have across the district that we can give them helps them adjust their data.
Got it.
So we've got to rely on our mechanics and the history that we have from our office, from Marquis down, to help provide them with as much information as we have. I don't know how that process was done with the preventative maintenance. Did we get those people when they were doing the preventative maintenance into every mechanical room? Did we capture all that data? That's the only reason I would like to see it done. And we've got to ensure from my end that we get them into every single area to make sure it's all correct.
One of the things I'll say, and this is a good, I think, example or just illustration, is I know I definitely would not expect to pick up the KCBA report and try to make decisions off that report. And I think the board members that were here that have read that report would agree with that. And even though we went through that process, that is an example of, we got it done to make decisions, and now it's a document that we can't use.
We don't use
and we
it
haven't
at all.
Used it to make decisions. So that's kind of, this is kind of a refresher, and knowing that we can trust the data to make decisions moving forward. And I think the way that Dave reports every month using SchoolDude and showing what's happening in SchoolDude can give the board a peace of mind that the data is starting to get where it needs to get. This is the first time that you guys have ever seen monthly reports on SchoolDude, and things have been accurate and things are can be reported out correctly.
Agreed. Dan was first in enjoy. Dan, did you have a...
Yeah. So this is, you tap a shoulder accurately. So this is great stuff. Last month, I think when you were raising this as a concept, I brought up the question of whether it would make sense to codify our practices around this in something like an administrative regulation. When you mentioned that part of the reason we, I think I have full faith that your instinct is correct, that we, for all the reasons, but that we might not have complete information in our preventative maintenance, that sounds
essentially,
like it's very possible. But part of, I think, your concern there was around not knowing how it was done, and I just wanted to highlight that maybe administrative regulations are a good way to bake institutional knowledge that goes beyond an individual director in how things have been done, because it's laying out, here's what we're going to be doing on what cadence and with what fidelity. So I just wanted to throw that out there as a reminder. We might want to take this amazing best practice concept and turn it into an actual document that people can look at.
So can I tease it out? What would you put in that administrative report? Just the process of those that are maintenance, having a business plan that's followed with fidelity? I'm not sure.
Probably something around actually saying every I think you had mentioned 5 years. Every 5 years.
5 to 8 years. Five, you know, it's obviously budget dependent for the district, but it is a lot less. If you're going to use the same company because they've got all the data, it's going to cost you less because, you know, they're basically all they're doing is re-inspecting. They're not taking the photo. They're more re-inspecting and checking any new areas. They're checking the condition. Have you been maintaining that piece of equipment? All that type of stuff.
And I would look to Mr. Teasdale to nail down what is the actual best practice.
I think I understand what you're saying. So you're basically saying if the school recommends that the operational use of school do it, you'd have that in some form of a policy, which I know there is.
Or just an AR.
We have preventative maintenance. Yeah. We have an energy management one.
Right. Because I assume, we would definitely have a facilities maintenance policy, but maybe not. But the idea of saying we want to make sure to do a facilities condition assessment report on next year basis, when possible. You know, obviously ARs can shift. That's the point of an AR versus a policy. But the having it codified, I think, would be really great. And I will just really insist. $13,000 to do the preventative maintenance, and that's to complete.
Yeah, it's $10,700 for the high school CBK and EP. And then it's $3,223 for the elementary schools and the administration building.
Thank you.
So thank you very much. I'm excited because I think we've been looking for real objective data that could move us into a capital improvement. And it sounds like once we kind of do that assessment, that could be the culmination of that, which we've been looking for. And I think it helps focus us, it helps identify what the cost will be over time, and allows us to plan. And so for me, that's what we've been asking for several years, and I think this would put us in a great place to get there. Just a couple of questions. So is the facilities condition assessment report, does that also include warranties for any of the equipment? Is that kind of also built in?
No, there's no warranties on equipment, but like we get warranties on basically anything. Are you talking
about? So I think I read that, so that's your problem. So can we load that in there so that you know that the useful life of a boiler is 5 years and 2025, we're going to have to replace it. That can be warranty in place that'll offset some of that cost.
I'm not sure on that. That's a good question. I can ask them if we can add that data in. But they, when they do come out, they ask for all our certificates for our route. You know, they ask for a lot of information. So I'll ask them when I reach out to them if you want them to come next month.
So if I can clarify, the new HVAC system on the for the library, right? That comes with a warranty.
Right.
Your question is, are you able to load that into the system so at least it lets you know you have 3-year warranty on this? And then
if they can do it, that would be great. Paperwork and look for it and determine that.
Yeah, definitely.
And my second question would be I'm looking at the facilities condition assessment report as really kind of a dovetail for sustainability, I would say, continuum. So that allows us to also look at the longevity of our buildings, useful life of the equipment, et cetera. That allows us to also possibly plan for more sustainable use of those buildings over time as well.
Yeah, so that's what we did at New Hope. The boilers that they replaced, we're replacing with energy-efficient boilers. Everything that we have to replace, we had an opportunity then to really look at it and, you know, make really good decisions. The boilers were a big one. They were saving a lot of money. There was one of their boilers was also acting as their hot water, so the recommendation was just to make that purely hot water. And then we had the two boilers operating there because the high school and the middle school there were connected by a long corridor. They weren't interconnected, they were two schools, but so that actually made the hot water service even energy efficient. So it does give you the opportunity when you do move to the capital replacement projects that you've got time to really go and investigate. It's not like, hey, this is broken, we're going to jump in and replace it as quick as possible. And yeah, like, there's certain circumstances, if we're going to do something at EP, it's like what we've done with the administration boiler here. We've just done basically a cheap boiler to get us through until more decisions are made. It's, when I say cheap, well, it's still going to last us 20 years, but it wasn't, you know, the high efficiency as much as we could have gone down, that cost money too in certain areas. But that was a, probably a different scenario here because we're not sure what's going on.
So I want to thank you very much. Yep. I'm looking forward to the presentation.
Yep.
To follow up Mr. Schultz's comment, we do have something in place for new building projects that was adopted by Mr. Brooks. Well, he developed and we adopted that. Mm-hmm. So, A, hopefully you're aware of that. And B, well, maybe you're not, but I'm going to try to find that. And then, I'm glad I mentioned it, even though it's for another reason. I guess what I'm suggesting is that maybe we look at something along those lines, just to get owners or time consuming or just that exercise and futility. But so that there's a set of guidelines slash a set of practices, if you will, in case, heaven forbid, you leave us and we have a new person on board, they're not coming in cold and not really, maybe they have no familiarity with school dude, and then either have school dude fall apart and or not even know how to use it or use it at least in the best practice way. So that's my thought of what Mr. Schultz was mentioning, to follow up on that. And have that, I guess, be more of an internal document. Then maybe the board, you can share with the board just for our knowledge and education, but not really an AR or policy, but more of like an operating guideline or set of practices, if you will.
Although just to follow up on the follow-up, I would say in addition to an AR, that sure. could be as simple as a guideline for every 5 to 8 years we perform facilities condition assessment report, okay. if that is indeed the recommendation.
And that would be, I think that would be really policy.
But I also like what you were saying, which is a lower detail thing.
Yes. So there's a maintenance policy 704.
Yeah,
and the AR is basically everything we're saying. We updated it recently.
The question I had was I guess both about just looking at the AR and thinking about the conversation that we're having now and the first vehicle discussion that we had as well, I know that those follow preventative maintenance plans and if their consideration to include them in this process or in school do. I think this is a two-part question.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Preventative maintenance we could put in to school do for the vehicles. I don't think we'd get it in like a facility condition assessment report, but that's where I was sort of getting along. If you saw the years and all that they had there, that's where I was sort of getting with the vehicles. Right. That would be like our plan. It's not just like, hey, we need 5 vehicles, give us $228,000. That's sort of the way that I'm working it. Yeah, and then we've got to look at grounds into that as well. Like, you know, projects, it's like, you know, our top dress, you know, that's more operational items, but that's sort of the model. You know, we're not going to go top dress the football field every year, but that should be in our thoughts when we're planning our budget.
Sure.
That these are the grounds we're doing this year, and then that becomes our form. So our budgets will adjust, you know, depending what we're doing.
So that's kind of the breakout of capital versus operational. Mm-hmm. So the vehicles and the grounds, that's all operational plans. So right. that it would be similar to that, but on a smaller scale that he would create. But it would hit the operational budget to help with that budgeting aspect.
Yeah, I'm just thinking if we're the same light that we're using the plan for, you know, for future facilities costs, we should likely consider that for vehicles as well.
Yeah, and
if in fact they're different plans, but the methodology exists in the same, right? What is the usable life of that 2016 vehicle? Or the 2020s that we're getting ready to purchase, right?
Yeah.
We should know today, not just the depreciation of them, because it's a car, we know how long that depreciates, but then what is the usable life of, you know, expected life of whatever.
Yeah. And that's like from my office end, I'm like, when we do get the new vehicles, and we can easily put in that, even though that's the PM schedules, that doesn't mean it's just preventative maintenance, that could just be scheduled maintenance. We can put in every month that we go and inspect all the vehicles. And that's just from an administration level to ensure that the staff are, you know, treating the vehicles accordingly, check for any dents or scratches, you know, like that type of stuff. Yes, we hope our staff report it to us, but, you know, just from an administration level that we're checking on our equipment and where we are and ensuring that we're, you know, got the dates of when they're next due for service and all that, so we can add that into their, that system as well.
I think that's helpful too, because something that I didn't connect was that the trucks that we use for snow is going to have more wear and tear, and even though they have less mileage on them, they might need to get traded in quicker, or they don't, their useful life goes down because the amount of power and work that they're doing year to year because of the snow. I didn't even connect that, like, you know,
tearing up those transmissions.
But you could be right. Some of the situations we are in with vehicles could have been potentially because of lack of maintenance. It's no different to our boilers. If we're not doing preventative maintenance to them, they're not going to last as long. And it's the same thing. If we don't do it to our vehicles, it's definitely not going to. Yeah.
While we're on the topic.
Yeah, we're just going to drive a snowplow around and think, I've got a big thing at the front and I can do what I want. Yes. Our vehicles are going to get banged up and we're going to damage them.
Okay.
All right. Sustainability update. So we actually had a meeting with Dr. Marseille and Dr. Lahara. At the high school, was really well attended. It was a sellout crowd.
Standing room only.
Yeah, I couldn't even get a seat.
Wow.
Excellent.
And so we updated them in relation to where we are and what we're doing within the district. We have a follow-up meeting with Waste Management to look at their new ways to improve their sustainability through what they do. I had a meeting on Monday with McClure Company. They were the company that we gave, which are basically a guaranteed energy savings company. They gave us the report back. I haven't had a full chance to go really into it, so I want to report more at next month's meeting. But one of the good things, a lot of our energy consumption across a lot of our schools is in line to the standard. There's a couple of schools that are quite high. Cheltenham Elementary is quite high. And EP, which is probably standard with an older school. So I'm going to have more information at next meeting for you with that. We're obviously reviewing the current policy, the energy management. We have an energy management policy, 823AR, and meeting with Dr. Marseille, and he's also, we're thinking of incorporating that into our sustainability policy when we get a recycling and as we work through that towards working into the summer. So obviously work is ongoing in this area, but we're doing lots of bits and pieces with the lighting project, you know, all that type of stuff. So it's just a matter of getting that policy pulled together. So school do, this is just the basic one. We are now fully online on preventative maintenance, except CBK. But I must say though, I'll give my maintenance technician there, he's doing preventative maintenance on that building. He's been a great resource for us. Jim Carlin.
He's been there forever.
Yeah, so yeah. He's got a really good history. He's right over at the PMs there. So they are getting done. It's just we've not got a history of it. Just wanted to give you, so this is out obviously November 3rd total, so we're at 1505 closed work orders, which 370 of them are PMs. And that's just basically how it's spread across the district. So you can see we're just short of 600 for the high school, and as you go down, the elementary school. So I just wanted to sort of give you a bit of an idea. So we can see, as you can see there, that was on Sunday, that we got 308 open work orders, which 192 of them are PMs. One of the things I know that looks great, and I did meet with our team on yesterday morning, but out of that 1,500, there's only like 1,300 jobs done by the maintenance team, so you actually divide that across our team, it's only 2.3 jobs a day. That's not saying that's not what they're doing. As I said, it's a six-month program to get this rolled out. It's just educating them that we really need them to input their work, so we're actually giving you good data. We've made really good strides. We've only been on it for 2 months, so yeah, I think the first meeting we had 700 jobs, so now we're at 1505. So I've seen a remarkable improvement, but the PMs have helped too, because now we're all online with them. So that's gonna help see, and I've gotta really work with the principals and the secretaries to ensure they're inputting jobs, because their maintenance guys get called a lot on the radios, to go do work, if that doesn't get entered and our guy doesn't, our staff member doesn't enter it, that's missed data. So it is an easy system to put the data in. But as I said, I looked at this as a 6-month project to get it really fully operational. So we've made some really good inroads there. So we'll just keep updating, and hopefully every month we will see a really marked improvement of where we are with the progress of that. But I'm quite happy how that, you know, bringing something back in line, it's change for everyone. So I think we've made good inroads. It's now in the next 2 months to take it to a new level, and then after that, the last 2 months would be really fine tuning it. So after the 6-month period, we're really good to go.
And that
covers the report.
Thank you.
Take
a
quick break and then go to finance.
Yeah.
Oh, motion to adjourn.
Motion. Yeah, motion to adjourn. Okay.
This concludes this school board recording. This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivation 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us and have a great day.